I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
As Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez continues to be the face of the Democratic Party, when you follow what she's doing, you just have to shake your head. You will recall that not long after being elected, while she was looking for housing in the Washington, D.C. area, she was very concerned about whether or not she was going to be able to find anything that she could afford. Well, it turns out that she's moved into a newly built high-rise in the city's Navy Yard area of Washington, D.C. Haven't been there, haven't seen it. Very, very nice area. Ms. Cortez repeatedly has criticized luxury real estate developers during her campaign, claiming that their buildings hike up the rent prices, gentrification, pushed low-income residents out of the neighborhood, was always asking that there be mixed use where they had affordable housing that would be created as well. She's gone on to say that we need to kick luxury real estate lobbyists to the curb and defend working people's way of life. Skyrocketing cost of living is a national crisis that can be addressed. It's not just a New York City issue. It's happening everywhere. And she's refused to take campaign contributions from luxury developers during her campaign. And it's time to stand up to the luxury developer lobby. Every official is too scared to do it, except Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Interesting. Her new apartment complex boasts on its website that it promises to take luxury apartment living to a new level, offers over 100,000 square feet of amenities for its residents, two private massage rooms with state-of-the-art hydrotherapy bed, men's and women's sauna, a full-scale demonstration kitchen with wood-fired pizza oven, a 25-meter indoor lap pool, a rooftop infinity pool with panoramic views of the Capitol, a Peloton cycling studio with over a dozen bikes, and a fireside lounge featuring a Steinway & Sons player piano. It's not over. There's a PGA-grade golf simulation lounge with a wraparound screen and viewing bar that allows the residents to play virtually at dozens of the world's most exclusive golf courses with a touch of a button. This is the lady that talked about she couldn't find a place and afford. Interestingly, this same project, a civil rights attorney sued Washington, D.C. government for allegedly discriminatory gentrification policies, claiming that the development in the Navy Yard area and other parts of the Southeast D.C. encouraged an influx of affluent millennial creatives. Now, I hadn't heard that before. I guess I've seen one or two of those. I'm not sure. Who displaced minority. Ian, is that you? You're a millennial creative? Ian's a millennial creative. There you go. So I've seen one. Who displaced minority residents. And yet she moves into this apartment clock. You know, folks, talk is cheap and actions speak louder than words. Do as I say, not as I do. Is this the height of hypocrisy? And where do we go from here? I mean, and then there's more to this story and other stories about AOC. And she's the one that's made herself kind of the face of everything out there at the present time. But she continues to engage in this conduct that just reeks of hypocrisy, that she's advocating all of these things for everybody else to do and warning everybody else about the ills of this type of development, and then she moves into it. Let's go to line one, David in Atlanta. What say you, David?
Hello?
Yeah, David, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Sheriff. I know Atlanta did its best to try to get that Amazon second headquarters in Atlanta.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's very unfortunate that people in New York are going to be denied many well-paying jobs. New York has invested into education, I think, much more, say, than Louisiana or New Orleans has, and that's where the good jobs are going to go. And I think New Orleans needs to look at its educational system more and take an example of why Amazon went to New York and not a city like New Orleans, because the future.
Well, we may be back in the mix. I mean, we had
They
said a lot of positive things about New Orleans and the greater metro area, and that we are emerging on any number of studies that have been done. And hopefully we might get a chance to revisit.
New Orleans has an excellent transportation system. It's what, 5 railroads come into New Orleans. And although I think New Orleans needs a regional airport, because you can only expand the current airport so much. And, of course, we have the port. So when you put all that together, that makes it look, I worked for 3 steamship companies in New Orleans, and I can tell you businesses look for an efficient transportation system before they look for, like, a tax system. But, again, we need to invest in education because that's where the future jobs will go. Now, Sheriff, if I may say something.
Yes.
On a different topic. Tomorrow, and everything I'm telling you is taken from the Picayune newspaper, tomorrow in a federal courtroom in New Orleans, as described in the Picayune, the political advisor to David Duke, Kenny Knight, former New Orleans police officer, will be sentenced for drug dealing in New Orleans East. According to the Picayune, Kenny Knight was running a pill mill in New Orleans East where for $300 of cash, and in many cases, without even seeing a doctor, you can get just about any prescription drug of your choice. And one lady doctor is already in jail for prescribing drugs out there.
Yeah, I know that case.
And, you know, it's really pathetic. Now, you could build a wall a million feet high, but how are we going to address people like Kenny Knight dealing heavy-duty drugs to people, you know, in a domestic operation? Those pills probably didn't come across the border. And if they did, they were legal pills. And that's the problem we have to address.
The threat and the challenge comes from all different angles. And you know, when we characterize the wall as the panacea solution to everything, that is an unfair characterization because it's not. It's one in a series of impediments in the migration of people as well as drugs and human trafficking across the border.
Well, look, most of the drugs that come across the border come in vehicles. I mean, they even have mules that swallow packets of heroin. And we're not going to X-ray everybody coming across the border. And what about the drones?
But David, let me ask you this. No, we probably will end up X-raying everybody that comes across the border. That funding is going to come through, and it's going to be very healthy funding in order to do so. When that happens, where do you think they're going to move to?
Look, drugs have been brought in by submarines.
No. Let's answer the question. Once we enhance that security at the ports of entry, mm-hmm. where is it going to come across the border? You don't think it's going to stop it?
No, they'll find another way.
I mean, the other day they found a catapult mounted to the wall in Texas where they were catapulting drugs, like an old-fashioned catapult, over the wall and into a desolate area. So those types of examples are going to beg of innovative responses in trying to figure out how to minimize these threats from coming into the country.
We need to educate people more on drugs, and I think we need to take a look at how Europe addresses the problem. You know, you could register as a drug addict and get a prescription, and you have to go to drug treatment and drug education and drug rehabilitation, but they don't have the crime we have. People are not murdering people and breaking into homes and stealing cars like what happens in this country for drug money. And we've been doing the same thing over and over for years, and it hasn't solved the drug problem. Sheriff, would you be kind enough to give me a minute on another topic?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, you know, there was a horrible tragedy, one of far too many in this country. 5 people were murdered in Aurora, Illinois. I'm sure you heard and read about it. 5
yep.
police officers wounded. Now, I read in the Washington Post this crazy man who shot up the office where he was fired. He had a felony, violent criminal conviction in the state of Texas. When he bought that weapon that killed those people, it didn't show up in a background check because the background check system is not adequately funded, and I thank the Republican Party and the NRA for that. Have we spent more money into a better, efficient, thorough background check? Maybe those lives could have been saved.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think that there's improvement that's needed there. I've said that always, the same way that there's improvement needed in the IBIS system when we put in the ballistics on weaponry, all of that needs to be improved. If we're gonna have a system, we need to appropriately fund it and make sure that it accomplishes what it sets out to accomplish. David, thank you so much. Got to get to a break. Appreciate your comments as always. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we've been talking about any number of issues. One text, your mom must have brought drugs to then solely because she was an immigrant. I don't know what you're talking about there. I mean, if you don't think that there's evidence of drugs coming across the Mexican border, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. Then I talk about, again, how about the hypocrisy of a man with an immigrant mother who's so vehemently against immigrants? I'm not against immigrants. I'm against illegal immigration. I'm against the violation, and I'm for the maintaining the rule of law. I mean, if you can't, draw that distinction, I don't know that I could help you or anybody else can help you. Obviously, you have a message that you want to send, and you can't see the forest for the trees. And when I talk to legal immigrants, they're as outraged about it as anybody else, because they get characterized, and it's overgeneralized, where they get thrown in that same bucket. And they waited outside this country for years to try and come in and did it appropriately and didn't jump to the front of the line by cheating. Plain and simple. Let's go to line one. Doc in Baton Rouge. What say you, Doc?
Hello, Noel. How you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. Got a couple things. So first, I hope you can help me out here.
Yep.
What has happened to the fiasco in Virginia with the governor, the lieutenant governor? I haven't heard anything. Has that been solved, or has
what?
Enough...
I don't know.
George Soros money reached the people involved?
Well, time heals all wounds. Look, I disagree with most of my Republican counterparts. I've not called for the resignation of Ralph Northam. If they haven't proven yet that he was actually the one in that picture with the KKK, the person dressed up as a KKK member, if that was him, then I think he's got a problem. But going... blackface for the purposes of mimicking Michael Jackson at a costume party, I don't really have, in my view, I think you have to look to the context. And I said, if that's all they have, I don't think he ought to resign. Now, the way that he's handled this crisis has been done so in a fashion of an idiot. And maybe his wife ought to be the governor of the state of Virginia, quite frankly, because she seems to be the only one that's given him some sound advice through this process.
Yeah. Second thing, what about Justin Fairfax, the lieutenant governor? Being a Democrat, don't you think that he knows about the pit bull of misogynist rapist that's here in Baton Rouge? That he could use to smear these ladies and get them off the lieutenant governor's back?
Well, you know, look, he's maintained...
I'm talking about James Carville.
Yeah, I understand. But he's maintained his side of the story, and until the evidence reveals itself that shows that he's guilty of this, it's the same thing. I mean, the problem is that what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander. And that's not what's happened. Anytime that you get into the political world... One party wants to hold the other party to a standard, but it doesn't hold true in return. And that's the hypocrisy amongst the parties. Guess what? That's not going away. That's not ever going away. Because it's all about, you know, the life cycle of the party. They don't care about anything else. It's all about control of this country. I mean, we see this every day. I could talk about this ad nauseum. I get criticized because I don't talk about all of this stuff. But, I mean, it would be the same thing, the same story over and over and over again every day.
Yep. And the last thing I have to bring up, Nick Salmon, one of the Covington Catholic high school kids. I don't know if you saw that, but
yeah.
He is suing the Washington Post, which is also known as the Pravda of the Potomac.
Right.
He is suing him for about $250 million. And my gosh, I hope he wins.
I do too. $250 million defamation suit. They characterized that young man in a fashion that they had no supporting evidence to do so. And it's obvious to me that they went off on a character assassination that was totally uncalled for. Doc, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to line two, talk to Henry. What say you, Henry?
Yes, Sheriff, I got a solution you brought up before to these ex-politicians that represent foreign countries and negotiating with us.
Yeah.
Let them become a member of that country in order to negotiate for the country and surrender their U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand. Let me say something about this that was kind of interesting, and I'm going to defend something that AOC did. I watched a video the other day where she was asking the ethics officers and the campaign finance folks at the federal level about what's allowed to be done by a congressman and what's allowed to be done by a president. And she brought out, I thought, a very reasonable line or dialogue as it relates to this. And what was revealed is that Congress can own stock of a company in a certain industry. Congress members can vote on bills that affect that industry and may create a more deregulated environment of that industry whereby the stock value goes up. Make those votes, introduce those bills, advocate for that, all the while knowing that their investment is going to increase and it's not an ethics violation.
Well, didn't they prevent the president from doing that?
No, in fact, to the contrary, the president. And I did not know this, and I have to say it came out as a result of a line of questioning that she said, that she led. The president actually has less restrictions than the members of Congress as to how he can benefit himself or herself by virtue of a decision being made as it relates to investments that they have, albeit whether they be in a trust or otherwise, but it still inures to their benefit. That, and then you add to that the afterlife that you just talked about. This is incredible.
I would think if they make them surrender their citizenship, in order to represent a foreign country, you must be a citizen of that country.
Yeah.
Whether it's in negotiations for contracts, you know, whatever it is, if you're part of that team, you got to surrender U.S. citizenship.
The interesting thing is they can't even fill out a form now to get it right. So thanks for calling. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll come back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. On the text line, what did the Washington Post print that was untrue about the kid? Be specific. Show your work. What they did was is they characterized his behavior as being unbecoming out there and that he was being disrespectful to the elder from the Indian nation, and that was anything that wasn't even close to the truth. And then when everything was put in its proper context, that he actually approached them, it wasn't the kids that approached him, and that he was the aggressor, then it all changed. Let's go to line three. Brian, what say you, Brian? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you could answer a question for me.
Sure.
The Feinstein and the Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, you know, the case, I can't remember the lady's name who was said that he had, you know, sexually violated her or whatever. Can you answer a question?
Yes.
Isn't that obstruction of justice that she withheld information according to a case for over 60 days?
Well, there wasn't an active investigation going on. Criminal
Correct.
Investigation. So I don't think
Correct.
That it would, apply with obstruction of justice. She ultimately ended up, and it wasn't 60 days. I think it was a period of time shorter than that. Revealed the letter that came forward in trying to validate the contents of what was being said. So I don't think that in that particular case that that it would have qualified for obstruction. In my view,
what about withholding evidence?
Well, I mean, I the same thing. I mean, it wasn't really evidence; it was a complaint. She was approached as a member of Congress, and my mind just went blank. Christine Blasey Ford had just wanted to let her know and didn't really ask for anything to be done at that point in time. And there were communications back and forth, so I don't think it would qualify as that either.
All right. I mean, you're the only free lawyer I know.
So I don't know that that's coming. You know, it's really more of a coming from a criminal investigator approach and looking at that. I mean, it would have been nice had she come forward with that information a lot earlier, and I think it would have eliminated some of the heartache. Her judgment, I think, I could question that. But in all fairness to Dianne Feinstein, I was never one that really thought there was malintent on her part. I do believe that she was trying to figure out what to do with this and if it was valid and so forth and so on. The part of the problem in Congress, as you well know, Brian, they don't have the systems in place to be able to really deal. They conduct these investigations, and in many cases, they have a flawed system, and they're not really in a good position to receive the information and disseminate the information in appropriate fashion because of this. The two parties that control, they don't allow each other to do so. And, you know, it's nothing but games being played up there day in and day out. And meanwhile, we sit here with the thirst for information, and it's a sleight of hand all the time. And this goes for both parties. There's not one more guilty of it than the other. They're equally equally at fault in that respect.
Well, I agree with that.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Got to get to a break. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll be right back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. On the text line, I've said it before and I'll say it again. They need to check their egos at the door and do the work of the electric who sent them there. Well, this one's really going to set you off then. How many of you have an email address on your spouse's or boyfriend or girlfriend's company's email? Now, I can tell you for sure, my wife does not have an email address at WWL. It doesn't work that way. But it seems to work that way in Congress. And I don't know what she... AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, must just be unlucky. I don't know. But obviously, she's under the microscope, right? So what do they find out? They find out that her boyfriend, Riley Roberts, is listed as a staff member of the U.S. House of Representatives, which he's not. But he's listed there for the purposes of having an email address, riley.roberts@mail.house.gov. And he has a password into the congressional system to maintain that email address. When confronted with him being listed on the list, Ms. Cortez got very nasty, and her chief of staff, Ms. Chagrabarty, got really nasty as well. Check your facts. That's a staff email address, and, you know, we're allowed to have our spouses and or significant others get an email address so that they have access to our calendars. Well, I thought that was kind of a crazy situation, but little did I know I was wrong. They actually checked with David O'Boyle, the spokesperson for the Office of the Chief Administrative Officer, and he said from time to time, at the request of members, spouses and partners are provided house email accounts for the purposes of viewing the member's calendar. Why can't you just send them a copy of the calendar, email them a copy of the calendar? And you can send it to any number of recipients when you put it on your calendar and you maintain the calendar. But this is the house rule. The house rule says house IT rules generally prohibit the use of the house electronic mail system and resources by unauthorized members and only U.S. House of Representative members, officers, employees, fellows, interns, and contractors with appropriate permission can use the system. Still, O'Boyle cited the practice of sometimes allowing spouses access. I don't know about you, but that creates, in my view, all kinds of security issues. In fact, the house system has been hacked several times. And if you're really worried about security, why would you be giving email addresses on the house email system to people that don't work for government? Now, some may argue this, you know, a spouse is one thing, but a boyfriend or a girlfriend? I mean, you know, I've never heard of that. I've never seen a company, and I could tell you the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office didn't allow spouses to have email addresses on their system either. I'm sure the FBI doesn't. I'm sure DEA and others don't either. But for some reason, they feel like they can have their family members with an email address. You know, what if you're not married and you have a minor or a major child that lives with you that wants access? They get an email address as well? And I don't know why. And maybe others are doing this, and it just so happens that AOC is under the spotlight and in the microscope at the present time. But, I mean, it really reveals some of the slipshod activities and procedures that are going on in Congress, and you know what they're actually doing. How about just on the email, put that person as a recipient, and every update that they get, it's emailed to that individual. Kind of plain and simple, kind of easy. On the text line, really, Newell, you have it out for this lady. Use that same energy to look at the unethical stuff Trump's been doing too. And I talk about that. I mean, these are just articles that just popped up when you research AOC, and it seems as though that there's no shortage of them. There's one after the other. She's not the only one engaged in this activity, so let me be clear. There are others. But why should the taxpayer be funding for spouses and other members of the families of the Congress that they're going to maintain an email address for them? It doesn't prohibit them from receiving email through that system once you give them an email address. I don't know. Just my thoughts. Got to get to a break. Give me a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we were talking about this email thing. And, of course, folks, on the text line, an outside email address tied to a secure system is a far greater risk to the system than one within the system, and there is no real cost to establish an internal identity address for calendar access. I didn't say that an outside email address should be connected. What I said was is that while managing the calendar, you can send emails out to recipients of the calendar changes. It's done all the time on Microsoft Outlook. Just look at it. It's how most people manage their calendars. They don't give their spouses and family members email addresses at their company. Maybe your company does. I don't know, but I don't think it's ridiculous to point that out. And other folks said, "Oh, these things just pop up." Yeah, if you go searching in Congress, what you're going to find are any number of articles that pop up about congressional activities. This story stuck out because there's a possible ethics violation that's going to probably be filed in this particular case. It was the same thing with AOC's luxury apartment when she's advocating against luxury apartment developers and talking about having affordable housing units as a key plank in her platform. And she's talked about that over and over and over again. In fact, it came up in the Amazon HQ2. She said bringing them to New York would worsen the housing crisis in New York. She's the one that made the issue. So if you don't think that it's fair game to bring to the forefront that she is renting something completely and totally contrary to what she thinks is an appropriate way of doing business in the luxury apartment world, I don't know what is. She's the one that's established the expectations and on that particular issue. Joining me in the studios, Bob Mitchell. He's up next, sitting in for Scoot. Bob, welcome to the studio.
Always good to be in here with you.
I don't know if that mic's on. You got to get it on. It's this one, Bob.
Got it? This one? Okay.
All right. We have
so many mics. So I understand. It's confusing. So what do we have coming up, Bob?
Well, a couple of things. I don't know if you heard the story about this 11-year-old kid in Florida that they wound up calling the police and arrest him because he got in a shouting match with his teacher about standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. And the other thing I want to talk about is, do you find it almost an embarrassment when you see all these anti-Trump, anti-president, anti-government rallies going on across the nation? I wonder what other countries think when they see all of this.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of striking to me is that the notion of agreeing to disagree. I mean, everybody can have an opinion. You know, we see it here on the text line. They want to attack you personally for stuff that you say. You know, and they don't, and then they hear what they want to hear. And it's the same thing out there. I mean, they're advocating positions. They're multiple sides to every political issue. But why does it have to be a reflection of our government? I mean, our government helps provide an open environment and to have an open discourse about any number of issues, right?
You know, when I see these rallies in other countries in the past, I think, goodness gracious, that's terrible. And now I wonder what other people in other countries, they look at the videos of all these rallies around the country against the government, against the president. I don't like that.
You know, and the other thing is that you can't take a position on an issue where they don't try to throw the president in the middle of the issue. Somebody just sent me another text. Well, what about the Jared Kushner and Ivanka working for the president? I've gone on record 1,000 times, and I don't know how many times I have to say it. Stupid idea, should not have been done, and should be prohibited, quite frankly. And there shouldn't be any workaround for your children working with you in the White House, ever.
I agree.
But they don't hear that, you know. So every time you talk about something else, they're bringing that up. Thanks for your participation. See you again tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.